G'day, this is Tommy Wren of Seriously Risky Business, and g'day Grok, how are you?
G'day, how are you doing? I'm good.
I'd first of all like to thank our founding corporate sponsor Proofpoint and also the cyber initiative at the Hewlett Foundation, who also supports us. So today, Grok, I wrote about TikTok, basically on the back of news that the Biden administration is asking that it be sold.
Right. I have some thoughts.
Yes?
So my first one is actually, I think the complaints about TikTok are very misguided because almost everything you see is about this data collection fear. If you're a senator or a government employee, whatever, you're not allowed to have TikTok on your phone because they can collect data. And I think that's ridiculous because if you have a phone, then so much data is being collected anyway that one app more or less doesn't matter. And the US has got no regulations on the purchase or the sale of such data.
Yeah, it's a free-for-all. I mean, I guess if you've got the app and you're a particular person, it seems wise to me not to install it. Like, I don't see the harm in that, but I think, like, that's the mitigation. If you're an important person, don't install the app.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that is fair, right? Like, that is a reasonable, you see the risk, you mitigate it, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I think the fear about it that focuses on that is very, very misguided because I think that the real power of TikTok is the information dissemination. So the way I'd put it is that it's not the information collection, it's the information dissemination.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That is the real, you know, that's the real problem with TikTok. And there are so many examples of this. One of the things that's unique about TikTok is the level of audience engagement. So if you look at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whatever, you're getting maybe 1% audience engagement.
Yeah, right? what does that mean? Oh, you mean like someone who interacts with a...
Right, like they will comment, like, subscribe.
Right.
Yeah, people are very passive and they're not engaged with what they're looking at and stuff. TikTok is basically between 4 and 5%. It's quite different. There's a lot more active participation. Also, for example, like YouTube doesn't have dance crazes. And like this is very important because it's people on TikTok, people will see, here's a thing that I do and it's good for me and it could be good for you. And people will go like, I will do that. Right? Like
right.
It actually happens. Like if there's dances, people...
But
it's participatory.
But, yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Right. And I think that becomes very interesting. So, for example, the Trump rally in Tulsa in 2020.
Yep.
That was email bombed with signups by all these teenagers. Most of that was organized on TikTok.
Yeah.
Right. Like they would show, they would film, here is how you sign up. This is what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. You should do this too. And people did. And, you know, there was that famous 1 million signups and, you know, 10,000 people showed up or whatever it was.
Right.
And
that
was TikTok. That's the power of TikTok right there. And I think to ignore that is to miss so much of what it actually brings to the table in terms of power.
Yeah. So sometimes on different types of social media, you'll see someone or other commenting that TikTok's no different than, say, Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, whatever. And so part of what I wrote about is a submission to an Australian committee on foreign interference in social media. The report does a good job, I think, of laying out the links between ByteDance, the Chinese Communist Party, and how ByteDance has been responsive to the Communist Party's concerns.
Uh-huh.
And it also does a good job at spelling out how controlling external propaganda is part of the Chinese Communist Party's plan.
Uh-huh.
So they talk about using new media to control discourse power or to gain discourse power. And the phrase Xi Jinping uses to tell China's story well. So you've kind of got this chain of the Communist Party. That's what it does, is control discourse power, both internally and it plans to do it externally. There's ways that it can coerce or force ByteDance.
Uh-huh.
And then plus TikTok, as you say, is very influential.
Right.
So the report then goes on to say, here's a matrix of likelihood and consequence. And probably everything on that matrix I would disagree with. but you know, it's a matter of where exactly you put the dot. It's not right. That the dot doesn't exist in the first place. It's just, you know. and I guess one example would be the data theft. They've got that on there as a risk and a consequence. And I agree with you. I don't think it's a big concern because you cut off TikTok and they just, even if they are getting it off TikTok, they would just buy it elsewhere.
I think it's probably cheaper to buy it than to run TikTok.
Yes.
If your goal is data collection, just go to a broker. You know, don't set up a multi-billion-dollar company that has to... That's the complicated way of doing it. I don't think that's intent, their sole intent. Because that's the wrong way to do it.
I mean, just thinking about the way Chinese groups have gone about data collection is they've got sort of complementary data sets. So airlines, hotels, clearance information.
Yeah.
And I mean, TikTok is complementary, but it's hard for me to see that it really complements those others very well. I mean, what else? Maybe tax records, something like that.
It would be like the kids of people that fly and stay in hotels. Yeah, if you're trying to get your hooks into the next generation. One of the other problems I have with this perspective is that people, like they really focus on all of the negative things with TikTok. It's Chinese controlled, they're doing data collection and that. But I think one of the things about a platform that allows this data dissemination, this information flow, is as a weapon, it has been incredibly effective for Ukraine, particularly at the beginning of the war, right? Where the international consensus was, gee, this is a real shame. We're going to support the Ukrainians after they've been defeated by the Russians.
Yeah.
And not only were they not defeated, but they were able to sort of visually show the indomitable spirit and the farmers stealing tractors.
Yep.
Where they do these things where, like, you know, here is a Russian soldier who's been captured and they're giving him tea and helping him phone his mother and, you know, not at all beating him up or burning him alive or shooting him or, you know, any of the things that actually happen on the front line.
Right, yep.
Right. And when they were showing all of these things that put Ukraine in a very good light and helped the rest of the world go, actually, we support this, because it was reaching out not to the leadership, but to the people, right?
Yeah, so those are really interesting examples in that they're all cases where, yes, I agree it made a difference, but also it's kind of pushing on an open door. So could you imagine the counterexample is that the Russians control TikTok? would they have been able to promote, this is actually a good invasion?
Right, right.
It can be both influential, but it's also got a hit upon something that's already in the population?
Uh-huh. Right. I think one of the interesting things about that early phase of the war was just how much more effective the Ukrainians were at their information control and information operations, and TikTok was a part of that, but it obviously wasn't the sole and only part of that. Right? Zelensky wasn't giving, you know, his daily TikTok to the people.
Yep.
And I think you raise an interesting issue of if China, for example, did support the invasion wholeheartedly, what could they have done to impact that information? Or could they have stifled the output? Could they have promoted different perspectives?
Right, yep.
Well, we know that they can, right? They do. There's been that report about how they can sort of increase the visibility of some videos over others and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I'm skeptical that they can make something actually go viral without people being receptive to it in the first place.
Right. I actually have a great example of this in a write-up that I'm doing where you may remember when the internet's big thing was Dig and Reddit. You know, this was 15 years ago or so. There was a scandal with Dig where people were buying votes to get onto the front page. And a reporter went out and they made this blog post, the most interesting twigs I've seen today, or something similar. It's just it was not viral content. It was garbage. But they paid for it to get to the front page.
No, right.
Right. And it did. It got to the front page. But then it vanished fairly quickly because it didn't have the organic votes, right? So mm-hmm. it could get the artificial votes to get there, but then it couldn't stay there because no one was interested in it.
Yep.
And I think that is the problem, right? Is that you can try to force something, but if it's not there itself, like if there's nothing to hook onto, it's just not going to work.
But I think it could definitely suppress messages. That would be much easier to do. And I think in a way harder to see.
Yeah, very much so. You reminded me of a thing, which is that, so one of the propaganda efforts that China has is a thing called Red Rap. Right, so they've got these rap groups that produce rap in, so like some of it's just...
I was thinking of gift wrapping, but anyway, yeah, go on.
So like some of it's indigenous and local and just it's the popular rap in China, and that's some of that's quite good and that whatever. But there's this propaganda stuff. They'll do it in English, and there was one that was released just before one of the congresses that they had, and the message for that congress was something like two votes, one congress, it was some sort of incredibly bureaucratic thing that would be exciting for you if you're like part of the Politburo and whatever. And that was the chorus to this rap that they released. You know, like the two Congress red rap. And I was just thinking, like, if that was released on TikTok and they tried to make that a viral song, it wouldn't work. You could put it in front of as many people as you liked, and no one's going to be humming along with the
two
Congress, one vote. That's not going to happen. And I think it's important to realize that as well, is that just because they do have that control doesn't mean that they can control the information space. They can limit voices, but yeah, they can't.
Yeah, it seems like they've got very strong control domestically, but in a way, because they've got that very strong control, they don't have to produce messages that resonate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that leads us to the question of whether you think TikTok would actually have any influence on an election. So I think one of the main mm-hmm. concerns would be that it would be used to sway politics somehow.
Right. So on the one hand, it seems like it shouldn't. The demographics don't really intersect. I don't think that the majority of voters are TikTok users, and the majority of TikTok users are not voters. I don't think there's a lot of overlap.
I mean, TikTok is one of the biggest apps, right? So there must be some.
Yeah, it's huge. But I don't think so, because most of the people who vote are old. You in Australia are in a unique position because everyone is required to vote.
Yes, so, that's right.
Yeah, so obviously that's different. But in the US, it's young people don't vote. If you're under 30, you don't exist in a politician's eyes. Basically, under 50 people don't show up and vote. So they don't really care what young people think. And I don't think that the people watching TikTok sort of extend into the US voting public. Australia is different, so maybe that's true. But again, I think the influence that exists would be things like China could suppress some messages and try and promote others, but without sort of organic virality or like organic actual good content, that's not going to really happen. But I do think they could have some influence. I don't doubt at all, as I said, the engagement level, right? Like, I think that would be a thing that would matter. Like in the US, if TikTok had a bunch of influencers going out and saying, here is how to register to vote, here is how to vote, here is what I'm doing and why I'm voting, and these are the policy things that matter to me, I can see that could drive better voter turnout, and that would then have an impact on the election. Yeah.
So, I mean, in the piece I wrote, I think exactly that will happen. Like, mm-hmm. people express their political views on TikTok because you express them everywhere. And I think there will be, like, legitimate, real American people mm-hmm. expressing real opinions and probably going viral because someone will do a good...
Right.
A good TikTok. And I think Get Out the Vote is a really good example of something that's mm-hmm. not partisan necessarily. Like, it's not a partisan message, but it could be perceived as partisan because younger people vote a certain way.
Right.
Right. And so I was thinking about if the election is close and it's contested, even with just legitimate American voices, one side or the other is going to say, aha, I lost the election because of TikTok.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
and I'm skeptical that the plan TikTok has will convince anyone that it's clean. And I think this kind of nightmare scenario is a real problem for TikTok.
Yeah, I don't think it's a hypothetical at all. I completely agree with you that a year from today, there will be people on TikTok making political or perceived political messages. Some of them will be successful. And if it doesn't influence the direction of the election directly, it will directly influence the discourse around the election. How much influence did the Chinese actually have, you know?
I think that's a good point, that the mainstream media will be kind of primed for it and will pick up on it and make the whole situation worse. Right.
You know, and is there a way to avoid that? Is there anything that TikTok could do? Like, I think the nature of social media is to cause discourse around whatever is happening.
Yep.
So yeah, like I think there's a lot with TikTok that gets missed. As I said, the information dissemination to me is the really big one. And I think that what we're talking about here with the election stuff, that's part of the real power. So it's part of that information dissemination. And that's not talked about at all.
I've noticed that politicians have started to mention it as typically the second thing that they're worried about.
Uh-huh.
So I think people are more aware than they were in the past.
Uh-huh.
But the question I have for you, do you think, is it influential enough to swing an election?
Ooh. See, I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think that there's any one thing that can have that much impact. But I think it would have an impact.
Right.
And then the question would be, did that 0.1%, was that the straw that broke the camel's back? Was that the, was that what pushed it over, you know?
Yep. So you can, I guess, another way of saying that is you hold 1,000 elections and maybe one of them is so close that the viral TikTok memes push it one way or the other. Or maybe it's 100, right. I don't know, but...
So a
small but noticeable effect, you think?
Yeah, non-zero. And I also think that things are really complicated, so it's hard to say. So a lot of what we see, for example, will be like there's a TikTok video and then it gets taken off TikTok and put on Twitter. And then, you know, it'll be shared on Facebook and it'll end up on a YouTube compilation. So I think maybe the creation tools for TikTok make it very easy to produce that sort of content. Just like Twitter makes it kind of easy to write tweets, right? Right. And then it spreads. It doesn't stay in just one place. So that's just sort of completely unrelated. That's one of the other things that's come out of Ukraine is that the OSINT collection from TikTok is just amazing, right? Like you'll have people filming tanks going to the front lines. And it'll go on TikTok and, you know, before the tanks show up, there'll be analysis coming out going, you know, all right, what is it? You know, what does the 67th Armored Division's tanks tell us about what's happening in this region of the whatever? That is absolutely amazing. Like that sort of stuff used to be not even necessarily exclusively limited to intelligence agencies. It used to be limited to a very small number of intelligence agencies.
Right. Like, yeah.
You know, like the Danes or the Germans, for example, probably don't have visibility into the tank movements inside Russia.
but maybe they've got an exemption to put TikTok on a few government fines.
There you go.
So going back to you think it's got a small, but maybe measurable is the wrong word, but a small influence on something as big as an election. Does that mean we should just do nothing about it?
Absolutely. We should just let it go. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? The Chinese seem pretty chill, you know.
So in the piece I wrote, I looked at that matrix that the authors presented, likelihood and consequence. And I thought, right, this is the untreated likelihood and consequence. So the InfoSec thing to do is to come up with mitigations, then have a treated result. And then I thought, well, you know, you get to a certain risk level and you can kind of accept the risk. And on one side, you've got TikTok as a platform that people enjoy watching. You know, you've got the creator who make some sort of living out of it. So there's some sort of economic benefit. And on the other side, you've got all the problems of social media, where perhaps TikTok is the same or maybe worse, I don't know. And then you've got the risk of Communist Party influence, and maybe you balance those two out and go, okay. But then I realized that in this political environment, that's just so totally naive. Like it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. In any close election, it'll be one of the things that's used to try and discredit the election. The election. Yeah. And so that's the sort of political reality.
Uh-huh.
And it could have done nothing at all wrong. Like I said, there'll be legit, like real American people expressing their real opinions.
Yep.
Like TikTok seems to be in this position where if it suppressed that, that would also be bad.
Right,
like you can't just say no political talk whatsoever.
Right. You know, you just reminded me of when the Congress was grilling Mudge about Twitter. Right. And one of the guys was saying, you know, like, how come, you know, my tweets used to get a lot of engagement and now they don't? What did you do to make it so that my tweets are no longer getting the same number of retweets that they used to get?
Yep.
And it's like, what? I don't think Mudge was personally there, you know, subtracting the retweets from your account. You know, but that's completely going to be the way that it's perceived. Like it doesn't matter whether they were organic, whether it was suppressed.
I guess current Twitter is kind of a funny example where Musk, he went through that phase where, you know, every second tweet in my timeline was Musk. and just imagine if you could say, oh, that's the Communist Party doing that. That's not just some random American billionaire.
Right.
And you don't even have to have proof, I think, for it to be a massive political problem.
I think proof would actually make it worse. Because if there's no proof, then there could be theoretical proof. It could be anything. Whereas if you've got like here, you can see that there's a 2% increase in views that is, you know, artificially created. Whereas over here, there's a 3% decrease. Like the actual numbers make it sound so irrelevant. It's hard to get as worked up as here. We're pretty sure that this one was pumped up and this one was suppressed.
Yeah,
sounds a lot
TikTok's
better.
Plan was to have Oracle, I think, audit its algorithm to make sure it was legit. I kind of think that politically, it doesn't matter who audits it or how, they could be 100% certain. And it's like, I just don't trust that. Like that's, I didn't win, lose the election because people like the other person more.
Yeah, you're telling me that the Chinese Communist Party TikTok was neutral, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
If you think that's the case, you're not paying attention. Yeah, no, I completely agree. But I also wonder, could we exist without TikTok? For example, one way I'm pretty sure that you would lose an election is whoever bans TikTok is going to get voted out by young people.
But without TikTok, would they be able to organize? I mean, I have seen it reported somewhere that one of the reasons that they weren't banning TikTok was exactly that. They were afraid that they would lose an entire generation. So in this piece I wrote, I said that forcing the sale of TikTok is the least bad solution, but I'm not even clear that they can force the sale.
Right. I think TikTok's probably in a position to just be like, yeah, nah, and then what?
And it seems like they'd be forced to either ban it. People I've seen have suggested that they could somehow force the app stores to stop carrying the app.
Yep. I can definitely see the negative consequences that will come out of actually banning it. You will upset a lot of people.
Yeah. So in a perfect world, if you were king of America, what would you do with TikTok?
You know, I think maybe the least bad option is forcing a sale.
Yep. And that's because of that kind of political reality of it'll be just an absolute bun fight.
It's, you know, if nothing else, at least you can haul the CEO of TikTok US in front of Congress and yell at him. You know, you can do your political theater of having an American sitting in front of the Congress, getting, Senator, we sell ads.
Yep, yep. You know? Yep. But not if it's still controlled by ByteDance, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to say that if it was a perfect world, what I laid out before of try and treat those risks actually sort of intellectually makes sense, right? That's the grown-up sort of sensible way to do it. I just think it's totally politically divorced from reality.
It's too nuanced, I think. That's
well,
the
it also, I think, doesn't recognize the internal dynamics, right? If there wasn't internal politics, but of course internal politics exists. And I think the other risk is actually to the US-China relationship, where like TikTok, again, could do nothing at all, but in a close election, it'd be the Communist Party blamed for...
Dominion voting, who makes voting machines that did nothing, ended up being vilified, right? And that's from like some minor thing. Like they make a thing that counts from one to whatever.
Yeah.
There's no way that TikTok would come out unscathed in that environment. No matter what you did, there's no way of avoiding it.
Yeah, yeah. The saving grace is that Dominion voting doesn't have nuclear weapons.
Right. Dominion is not actually about to invade Taiwan.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Good to talk to you. See you next week.